Primarily for me, it was this telephone or this smartphone was a catalyst for understanding how dependent we are on different systems and networks. So
they wanted to arrive at a language that made sense for both of them, but that also made sense for Hawaii, which is how they arrived at the nets. And I remember having coffee at Kaimuki Superette, and we were talking about bamboo and steel and all these different options and the properties that make those materials interesting. And then, you know, subsequent conversations talking about fishnets and all the different implications associated with fishnets, including the economic systems that are tied to them and the way that they could physically stretch across the gallery and sort of reproduce the invisible systems in a really interesting, visible way.
The nets are just, you know, a metaphor, as He Aloha so articulately stated, you know, for other invisible systems that we actually don't think about, but that we're so heavily invested in. You know, so that's what this piece is actually about, because what we did here was we projected different maps of different systems and networks onto the walls. So we have maps of shipping routes, airline routes, contagion routes, agricultural areas where most of the food is produced to feed the world. We have transportation routes like rail and roads and electricity, natural gas lines, oil pipelines, internet server cities, because we forget that we think of this thing as the cloud, but it actually goes someplace physical where it gets stored. And so when we layered those projections onto the walls, we drew with the net. So we used it as a drawing material, and we connected those dots, so to speak. And then we'd lay another map on top of that. So there, it's multi-layered on the walls. And after we were, you know, done with that particular map, we'd move to another map, and then we'd draw with the nets on that map, and then we'd extend those nets across space and literally connect them to other maps.
Every point represents something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's so funny. You've just got all of these different types of systems overlaying on each other. Mm-hmm. And we're just all in here, all tangled in them.
Yeah. We can find our way through, you know, we can crawl through, we can dance through it, or, you know, run through it. But we are in it, literally. And we have to become more aware of where we are and, you know, the systems that we use and the systems that we depend on, because it impacts everyone. It impacts everyone else, not just us. So we have to look beyond the self and the selfie to the whole world. So
wait, what did you think when it was just so flat out beautiful? Were you expecting that?
You know, there were there are moments of beauty in this installation that I absolutely did not expect, even though I sat in here and witnessed every minute of the installation. Like, this canopy emerged very unexpectedly. It was not predetermined. But in the end, I do think they achieved a strong balance of composition and chaos. There are moments of chaos here, and then there are just moments of, like, she said, you know, drawing with the nets, using these beautiful, really strong lines to create a shape.
That was
Lalikala.
What an amazing opportunity to work with so many people, you know. I mean, I am so grateful. I am so blessed to have worked on that show, that piece. It was a true collaboration as well. You know, Hong Tao and I here at the museum. And G70, Mari Kim Johnson, and Craig Lovett, and of course, always Nicholas, my assistant.
Nicholas?
Bright. Yeah. Nicholas has been with me for 10 years now, and he's also an art student, but he's an integral part of my practice. He really, you need to meet him. They needed something suspended from the ceiling that was going to reflect not only their design vision, but, you know, they wanted to bring it back to an authentic understanding of place. And I saw Mrs. Bento, Mrs. Gussie Bento, who's a quilter, and she has worked at Kamehameha for over 40 years. But she had a grand aunt that used to live there before all of this was built and developed. And it, she speaks of the Muliwai, where the Vai meets the Kai, where the fresh water meets the ocean. And she recalls that her grand aunt used to, you know, bend down and grab these little fish out of the water and pop them into her mouth. And that's what Hulali Kala is. The copper forms are based on the Hinana. And the Hinana are baby o'opu, essentially. And when she said that, it was, wow, that was affirmation to the research that Group 70 did and, you know, it just the history of the land. And so because each employee hammered a form, they now know the history of the place, right? They know the true history of this place. And they can now tell that story. And that's how we keep the place alive. That's how we keep the memory and the narrative alive, the true narrative, you know, not of the near recent history, I mean, but the authentic history of this land. You know, and they know that story. And now it's their responsibility, it's their kuleana to tell that story. And that to me is extremely important. I am just so grateful to every single person that participated, and I am so grateful for everyone that, you know, made this opportunity happen, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, for sure.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I hope not.